In the gospel, we heard a very complicated and also interesting question. The Sadducees came to Jesus, and they probably had already prepared previously this question. And that wasn't me, that was upstairs in the choir. For the record, because I'm recording. Jesus did not respond to this question with all the details that they were probably expecting. Rather, as he did so many times, and as he does in our lives frequently, he wanted to lead them to what really matters. Not to some interesting question that many times is an excuse to really face the truth. And he said something that they were probably not expecting at all. He spoke about God. He said, God is not God of the dead, but of the living. So we see the contrast. While the Sadducees were talking about ideas, scenarios, what about this case, that case, Jesus was talking about God. And that is absolutely essential for us to understand. Because when God in our lives, actually, our actual daily lives, becomes more an idea, or maybe some kind of family or cultural tradition, just as we like this team or that political party, we're Catholics, when God is basically a personal preference, then, yes, we can ask a lot of interesting questions, and many times complicated questions, then we can also compare what God says, what God has taught very clearly in Scripture and through the tradition of the Church, and compare that with maybe what other people say. Compare that with what we want, with our own views or our own attachments, and in the end, choose what we prefer. But God is not an idea, just an idea among others. God is a person, a real living person, a fire, as we heard again in the gospel, someone who truly exists right now, in this very moment, who wants to be part of our life, and who wants to intervene in so many loving ways to guide us to true life. God then, as a living God, is powerful and loving. And here we need to understand this very well, because normally for most of us, if not all of us, it is quite easy and enjoyable to hear certain words about God, and to hear that God is loving, that He is merciful, that He's always forgiving and compassionate. We like that. It is more difficult to understand or to embrace the fact that God is a Lord, and that as a Lord, that God has power, that God has authority. It seems very true what C.S. Lewis said once, that we really, rather than having a father in heaven, would like to have a grandfather in heaven. But God is a father. And as a father, He wants our true good, not just to make us happy now, in this very moment. God is our Lord and our Creator. So how can we embrace this reality of who God truly is, loving and powerful? When St. John Paul II was elected Pope, in his very first homily, he said something very beautiful and very important about this. He spoke about the, quote, absolute and yet sweet and gentle power of the Lord. Those are very beautiful words in one sentence. The absolute and yet sweet and gentle power of the Lord. And then he said for the first time that which became his most famous phrase that he repeated again and again, do not be afraid. But he said more, and pay attention to what he said. Do not be afraid. Open wide the doors for Christ. To his saving power, open the boundaries of states, economic and political systems, the vast fields of culture, civilization, and development. Do not be afraid. Christ knows what is in men. He alone knows it. And let's notice the fact that John Paul II did not say, open the doors of your heart, of your own personal and private heart to Christ, and just let him be there. He spoke certainly of our own hearts, but also about states, about economic and political systems. Open the doors for Christ. Not just as a private matter that has nothing to do with your way of working or living or voting. Open the doors for Christ and let him, without being afraid, be the Lord of your life. And the main reason is because he alone knows what is inside of us. And that does change everything. Because any other leader, assuming their good intention, and sometimes there might be doubts about that, but any other leader, even if they really try to help us and to do what is good for everyone, they cannot fully know what is inside of us. Only Christ can do that. This is a very important reason for us to always pray for those in public office, as the church has always done, independently than our own personal preferences, as the church has always done, even during times of persecution. We know very well that in a couple of days, we'll have a new president. And these are very important days, and should become, first and foremost, very intense days of prayer, of extra offerings and sacrifices for the good of the country, for the conversion of our leaders, and also for all of us to fulfill our civic duty as faithful Catholics, first and foremost, guided by the teachings of Christ through the Church. Now, for sure, a presidential election brings some insecurities in many ways. And this particular election, more than ever. This is a very important time for us to try to open our hearts to that absolute power of Christ, which is at the same time a gentle and sweet power, and to not be discouraged. The second reading gave us some wonderful and important reasons for not being afraid. And I just want to read again a couple of those that are very important. St. Paul said that Christ offers everlasting encouragement, not just temporal, everlasting encouragement and good hope. So that, he said, we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people. Because the Lord is faithful. And even if bad times come or good times come, then we can absolutely trust in this beautiful prayer. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. So not any kind of endurance, but the endurance of Christ. And not submitting ourselves to any kind of arbitrary power, but to the absolute and yet gentle power of Christ. Now, to be realistic, we can never predict the future, but to be realistic, the times ahead might be challenging, even more challenging than what we've been going through. And we need to be ready for that. If we look back at our history, the history of the church, we see that there are periods of time in which being a Christian, being a Catholic, becomes easier in society, becomes socially accepted, the thing to do, the normal thing to do. And for some reason, when it is just easy and normal to be a Catholic, many times we start allowing certain lacks of coherence in our lives that in the end just do not work. When we think also at the difficult times of our history, times in which it was very, very hard to be faithful to the gospel in our public life, times of persecution of different kinds, times of social exclusion, etc., we see that mysteriously and wonderfully, those times many times bring wonderful fruits. Fruits of more conversion. Fruits of more prayer, because it is hard to be faithful. Fruits of more sacrifices. Fruits of more holiness. In the end, because in those difficult times, we are clearly, clearly called to step up and make a choice. Either we follow Christ and all the consequences of our faith, or we don't. In those times, being lukewarm and mediocre is really not that easy. So if the years ahead are one of those times, then it will be a time for a choice, and hopefully the right choice, to not be afraid, to trust in the absolute power of Christ, to trust in His sweet power, and to know that with Him, we can have His own endurance, and trust that even in the most challenging situations, we can be faithful. Because in the end, we are trying to have a good life here on earth, absolutely, but we are destined to eternity, and we want that kind of eternal joy. Life might be challenging sometimes. Augustine said that our life on this earth sometimes feels like a bad night at the inn. And it does. But even a bad night can bring greater health. So let us pray that this will be a time of renewal for all of us, a time of recommitting ourselves to Christ, not being afraid of anything, because we trust in His absolute and sweet power.